Today is March 8th, 1980, and I'll be talking with Richard Marcus, and this is Peggy Corsmo Kennan, and we're at the Waseca County Historical Society. Well, maybe we can, you can tell us again about the...
Well, if I were an engineer coming into Waseca from the west, I would probably call the depot at Waseca and ask them for instructions regarding the yarding of our train. And then the operator would probably check with the yardmaster if he was on duty to
Who's
ask
the yard
him.
Master here?
His name is Mitchell. And he would probably tell them the tracks they could use to yard their train. And he might even suggest making a advantageous cut so it would reduce the switching involved.
So when that would mean that you'd cut some cars off of the train before...
Yeah, you wouldn't break up a block of cars that were destined for the same place. And, well, after we got the train yarded, I would take... Brakeman would cut off the engine and we would take it to the roundhouse. And then it would... I should say the engine house. We don't have a roundhouse.
Do you still refer to it as the roundhouse, though? Yes, we do. The engine house the roundhouse?
Yeah, I'm so used to that. He would service the engine. And then the yardmaster and his crew would block the train.
And that means
switch the train, I should say, and make up the proper blocks. And then he would get the train ready to go east, and he would get the, probably take cars over to what we call the M and St. L, Minneapolis-St. Louis Railroad Yard, for either south cars or the northbound cars, depending on the billing. And then, then this yard job also does the station switching in town here.
And what's that?
Well, we might take a car of paper over to Mishick's. Then we might take some farm commodity over to E&J.
And E&J is what?
J&R, excuse me. J&R. That used to be Dean's specialties.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And we take quite a few cars of paper out to Brown Printing. We do that every day, I think. And then we switch Birdseye. Right now they get quite a lot of vegetable oil, I think, and they also get some sugar, salt.
And does this come in like a hopper car? Is it all filled up with salt, or are they in little boxes? Or?
Well, I think it comes sacked.
Sacked?
I'm not sure.
Well, then I suppose for food it would be.
Then the frozen foods are sometimes shipped out in mechanical refrigerators. Most of that is truck now. I probably shouldn't mention that.
Well, no, I think that's a big problem, isn't it, with the railroads, the competition with the trucking.
It's difficult for us to offer the service that the railroads do. Their service is so much faster. Then they don't have the damage either, I'm afraid, because of switching operations and so forth. And the slack action in trains causes damage to the ladings quite often. There's a lot of that damage causes it from that problem.
Since the rising prices of gasoline, has the use of the railroads, have you noticed that at all? Is it cheaper one way or the other? Is it cheaper to ship by trucks? Is that another reason why they use it?
Well, the railroads have energy advantage, I think, because there's nothing that rolls easier than a rail on a wheel on a steel rail, they say. Yeah, I think our business has improved some. The big problem is if we could give a little better service, faster service.
It seems like the Northwestern has been concentrated. I mean, in the news, at least, that's what they're saying.
Yes, do away with the delays. We have quite a lot of problems with our locomotives not functioning properly.
Why is that?
Well, defects.
Are they old?
Electrical defects and mechanical defects, and the engines are quite old.
I should have these written down. What kinds of changes have you seen in the service? You know, you've been working for, 25
years? 34
years. 34 years, isn't that? He's so young. 34 years. And
thank you.
What kind of changes have you seen in the types of the service that the trains have been able to give in commodities and that?
Well, I'm sorry to say it has deteriorated to some extent in the last 10 years. I've seen quite a decline in service, I think. One of the big reasons on the line I work on is the condition of the track. We had a lot of 10-mile-an-hour track. However, a lot of that has been upgraded between here, between Waseca and Winona.
What's the cost for doing that?
Well, it's very costly. And especially if you have to use new rails and new ties. I understand that a railroad that was completely rebuilt, this was a new line, and everything was new, of course. Out in the coal country in Wyoming, they figured it cost $1 million a mile build a railroad. Of course, that was the cost of the right-of-way, too, I'm sure. And then there's a lot of labor involved. I think since I've worked on the railroad, the track people, the engineering department, have acquired a lot of machines to do the work on the tracks, like tie tampers.
Who did they replace them, or what?
Well, they replaced section men. In the old days, they did it with shovels, of course. Tamp the ties, that is. That's where the Gandinancer name came from.
Yeah,
I think
so.
Pushing that rock in under the ties and raising the ties, especially at the joints. Those clickety clicks, they caused a lot of damage to the track. There was more of a jar there, and consequently it caused the track to go up and down more. And now the trend is to use welded rail. Then you get away from that that jar from the wheels going over that open space in the rail.
So a welder has to go out and then weld it after it's been laid?
Well, I think these rail links are a quarter of a mile long, and they're hauled on flat cars that long, of course. It's quite a problem getting around curves with that big quarter of a mile strip of wire, you know. We have special instructions with regard to handling it. But
imagine that's a long way.
There is some ribbon rail just north of Waseca.
Is that what they call it, ribbon rail?
Right. Albert Lee subdivision. It's quite interesting. That's a real good piece of track. I think there's about 5-6 miles north of Waseca.
Why did they wanted to have a pretty efficient trackage from Minneapolis to Kansas City? Is that the line? That's what I read in the newspaper from the Chicago Northwest. They wanted to.
Yeah, that would be over the old Rock Island line.
Oh, okay.
That would be the line that runs through Owatonna.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a real direct route. And most of that track is in pretty good condition, I've been told. I guess it would work out well with railroads south of Kansas City. You know, in your big cities, there's lots of congestion and lots of delays because of the lack of enough tracks. And too many trains and not enough main lines. And we have, in most places, in these big, large cities, the tracks the yards were designed years ago for when trains were much shorter than they are now. And that causes lots of delays, unless the yard has been upgraded to handle 100-car trains.
How is this yard here?
The yard at Waseca, well, that was a yard that was designed when we had 30-car trains. I guess the main line will hold 45 cars in the west yard. And most of the tracks, about 35 is the limit. Passing track will hold about 40 cars.
So when you have a longer train than that,
that forces us to do a lot of doubling if the tracks are short. And if you have more tracks, your switching operation goes so much faster because you don't have to double switch so much to switch out your blocks and get them in the proper order. This yard here at Waseca had three tracks added to it about 4 or 5 years ago, which has helped switching operations a whole lot. That became necessary when we became part of the old M and St. L, because there was so much tonnage transferred to the north-south line. When that was a separate railroad, we tried to route those cars over the northwestern line so that we would get the revenue rather than a different railroad getting it.
Oh, I see. When did the northwestern buy M and St. L? Or when did it change? Because now, how long ago has it?
I'd say 10, 12 years ago, they acquired the Minneapolis and St. Louis Railroad. That was one of the first mergers the Chicago Northwestern made. And then back in 1968, they acquired the Chicago Great Western Railroad.
That still goes by the Chicago Great Western.
No, it doesn't. It's part of our.
People must still refer to the line because I heard.
Right, they do.
Yeah.
The Great Western.
Mm-hmm.
That runs through Dodge Center. It also ran through north of us here at Waterville. It ran through Waterville, you know, and over to Faribault and also over to Mankato. Part of it now is that hiking trail.
Oh, really?
Between Morristown and past Cannon Lake and over to Faribault.
Yeah, they do take up the tracks, don't they? Well, they took up some tracks now down on the what they used to call the Alphabet Line. The one, I think it's Milwaukee Road, really, that goes from Albert Lee and used to go to St. Clair. Just cuts across the southwest corner of Waseca County.
Mm-hmm. Went through Waldorf.
Right. So now Waldorf doesn't have any tracks if
right.
they want. Is that because of the agricultural land it goes across? Is that why they would take those lines up particularly?
Well, the traffic over that line was so low that they thought it was got to be very unprofitable when you consider the cost of track upkeep.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing, the track had to be upgraded and a heavier rail installed in order to accommodate the heavier cars that are shipped over the line now, especially fertilizer cars. And their total weight is over 100 tons, and that rail was too small to accommodate those heavy cars.
What is the what are the main commodities that are shipped through?
Well, on these rural towns that has an elevator, well, there's lots of grain shipped, of course, and then there's lots of fertilizer shipped in. It's much cheaper to ship fertilizer by rail than it is to have it trucked in.
Does that go to fertilizer companies or does it go directly to farmers?
Well, The fertilizer dealer handles it, usually. In some cases, farmers get it, especially a real large farmer. I know there's one at Dodge Center that used to get fertilizer right from the source. Mm.
Is that, what kind of fertilizer? Is it potash?
Well, it's potash, and it's nitrogen, mm-hmm. and it's the phosphate. That's the potash. Most, pretty near all of that comes from Canada.
My father is the superintendent of a distribution point in Glenwood for potash of Saskatchewan, so I always see his cars, those pink cars. I was going, hi, Dad, see if they go which way. But I never knew anything about potash before.
The phosphate, a lot of that comes from Florida, I understand. And of course, nitrogen is made from natural gas, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's really costs a lot now with this such a petroleum situation.
So, do you get any? I'm thinking the types of stuff that trucks haul now, like boxes of canned goods or things that stores would have. I don't know what you'd call that.
We used to call that LCL on the railroad, less than carload lots.
Mm-hmm.
We don't handle that at all anymore.
Yeah.
We stopped handling that almost 20 years ago, I believe. But, the railroads thought it was unprofitable, so the trucks are handling all of that now, and they can do it so much faster and give so much better service. They don't have to be. It doesn't have to be transferred from a boxcar to a truck. That's a big advantage. There's less handling over the merchandise.
And then you see those, the trucks that go piggyback on the rails. Do you have much of that through here?
Some. Not as much as they have between the big terminals. Between the Twin Cities and Chicago, why they have piggyback trains. On our railroad and on the Milwaukee Railroad and also on the Burlington Northern Railroad. I've seen them go through Winona. But I think that business has grown a lot since we've been into this energy crunch. I hope it does, at least.
So are your days pretty much spent in Waseca, or where do you go?
I'm the engineer on the Waseca yard assignment. We don't leave the Waseca area. We make up the trains as they come in and do the terminal switching. That takes care of our day. Some days we work the full 12 hours, and some days we have sometimes a little less than 8 hours work.
So when you work 12 hours, does that mean after you have 40 hours in a week, you get a long break?
It's a five day a week assignment.
So it doesn't matter how many hours you aren't paid on the hours. It's just the assignment.
I'm paid under in yard service. We're paid under the under the hourly system. In road service, it's hours and mileage, which is a little complicated unless you're familiar with the railroad.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to find out. All these
we get a lower rate of pay if the, as an example, if we work 100 miles, we get at a higher rate, slightly higher rate than we do the 50 miles. Which is some lower rate. I think that's referred to as the mileage rate.
So did you used to go, you worked then, what do they call it, on the road? Or road end?
Yes. I've worked a long time on the road, especially between Waseca and Tracy and Waseca and Winona. Many, many trips I've made.
So is it kind of as you get more seniority, is it a preferred job to be? Well, I would think to work in the yard.
Well, I go to work at 9 a.m. And I have Saturday and Sunday off. And the big advantage with the job is I know when I'm going to work. So many of the road jobs, you're subject to call when the train is made up. And that can vary up to 24 hours sometimes. So you're got to be available when the telephone rings. A lot of a lot of people don't like that.
Because you really can't go any place.
Right,
if
your free time really isn't your free time. For that reason.
So why do people work for the railroad?
Well, the wages are good.
Yeah.
But you spend a lot of your time away from home.
I guess that's, I've talked to your wife briefly. I'd like to talk to her about raising a family. Because when your family was growing up, probably you were gone.
I was gone again because I didn't have enough seniority to hold the preference jobs at that time. So the wife has to raise the family in a lot of cases. I know I would have liked to have been with the family more than I was at that time.
So is that that's a probably pretty common problem for railroad.
Yes, I'm, yes
is
it
there
is.
Any way that it's handled within the union, or is, you know, some way of recognizing that and dealing with it with the unions or the...
Well, there isn't a whole lot you can do about that thing in transportation. I think that's a problem with airline pilots and with truck drivers and bus drivers. Just, you have to be away from home in that type of work. And you have to work holidays and Sundays also. It's a set. We give service 7 days a week. Try to.
So when? Well, I should have my little questionnaire. Now that I was going to. Oh, I know what I was going to ask you is when you were on those longer runs, like from Waseca to Winona, were there, and I'm sure you go over it so often that you're just familiar with the landscape, and I'm interested in the types of place names engineers and people who work on the trains give certain locations, or maybe stories that have cropped up about, say, this particular bend in the rail or a grade or something like that. And are there any real famous ones, say, between here and Winona? Or?
Well, when I was the engineer going east out of Waseca to Winona, we always referred to the hill on this side of Owatonna as the 2 mile hill, and then we got east of Owatonna and there was Anderson Curve. There was a station there at one time that was named Anderson, and there still is the foundation of the depot that used to be there and the foundation of the siding. Then we got a little farther and there was a place in the line that we referred to as the Hogback, which is self-explanatory, I'm sure.
Oh, well, not really. Is that mean that it goes steeply on each side? The
right,
grade is steep,
yeah,
on each side?
Yeah.
Okay.
From a distance, it looked like a Hogback, I think.
I read about that in the history of laying the track from Winona, I think, to Owatonna. That was gave him some trouble building that, I think. Then after with the Hogs back, what do you...
Well, then you go down into Rochester, which is between Byron and Rochester. There's quite a downhill area. And then we go through Rochester, which is quite densely populated. We go up there and we go between Rochester and Yoda. And there's quite an incline there, which reduces the number of cars you can haul. We refer to that as the tonnage that we can handle on that hill. Then we get to Lewiston, and then we dip down into the Mississippi Valley, and then which is a very steep hill. It was in the old days when the Westinghouse air brake wasn't as perfected as it is today, there were several times that trains got away from them and ran down the hill. I've often wondered why they called the brakeman a brakeman, but in the old timers used to say that the brakeman used to get up on the cars with the club, and so the club would give him some leverage to increase the brakes, application of the brakes. In those days, he really was a brakeman. He had to.
That seems like a dangerous job if you're going out of control down here.
He had to handle those hand brakes. I've heard of people, the brakeman going to stop, the train would come into Lewis and then they would stop and the brakeman would go back and set up a bunch of hand brakes. And then they would pull, sometimes they'd set up so many brakes they had to pull the train down the hill. But that was better than allowing the train to run away.
Because were there any wrecks because of that on that hill?
Fortunately, no, not that I can
remember. Because you can go out of control. But still stay on the
Yes.
Track.
I've heard of the trains getting up to 60, 70 miles an hour going down there, and there's a lot of curves, and luckily the cars stayed on the rail.
What's the average speed that you like to
well,
take?
Well, the maximum speed is 30 miles an hour down that hill, mm-hmm. according to our timetable.
So as you come into Winona, then, are there any... That seems like a real... picturesque area anyways. Do you have any special names for
Between Lewiston and Winona, the terrain changes. We have the beautiful bluffs. There's a real nice park on the way down. It's always kind of a pleasure to work through that area, especially in the spring of the year and in the fall of the year. Got to Winona. We always had to guard the train, of course. And there was that we could always view the Mississippi when we got down there.
Mm-hmm. So then, did you stay overnight in Winona?
Yes, usually.
Where did you stay? Were there special?
Well, the railroad people had a hotel up near the engine house, which was referred to as the West End Hotel. That was a boarding house for railroad people for many, many years. However, I think it no longer is. We stay at a motel now. And we have TV.
Well,
some of the goodies that go with
modern
living.
Well, how did people amuse themselves? I mean, and this might be all hearsay, of course, but how did people amuse themselves between return runs, and what are some traditional pastimes?
Well, a few went to the library and read.
You don't hear about that as much.
Some did some things that, to entertain themselves, I'd rather not say.
I see, that's the hardest part. I know that there are these things that... Well, there always were saloons that were nearby, too.
Right. In a lot of cases, they catered to the railroad trade. Mm-hmm. There were several... I can think of two quite popular spots near the engine house in Winona.
Do you remember their names?
No, one was the Cozy Corner, and the Oasis.
Oh, yeah, that's appropriate. Were there any in Waseca then? Because this was a point where people would get off and wait for another sign.
Well, McLoone's Bar was a popular hangout for rails.
And where was the... I'm not familiar with McLoone's or...
It is now a Rose's Bar.
Okay. That's pretty close then.
Right. And Lures had a popular spot in Waseca when I came here. That is now the Horseshoe. I myself used to go to the library quite a bit.
Yeah, I think that's a good time to... Well, you're still pretty popular there, they tell me. You're always there taking out the books. But someone was mentioning to me, and I'm not sure who it was, if you would remember him, but there was somebody who frequented these bars in Waseca that railroad men did, and he sang. He was an entertainer, and I don't know if that was the only thing he did, but he had a repertoire of railroad songs. And I was wondering if you'd ever heard of anybody like that, or you know who that was.
That was a long time ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't remember that.
I can't see that. I talked to so many people about this that you forget who you talked to. And I don't know if they even gave me their name, but when I told them that we were having some people coming in to sing some railroad songs. Well, do you ever hear about people singing on the railroad, or is that mostly people sing about the railroad?
Well, they complain a lot about the railroad.
Well,
and
we can have things off the record too. So, but what was I going to ask another one? I'm trying to get into some of the traditional, like the folklore about the railroad, of you know, things, stories that people might have told about legendary engineers, if when you were being trained in, if there's anybody who, you know, people kept referring to as somebody who was, you know, really good at that, or really good at another aspect of their job, if there's any kind of legendary people. Yeah.
Well, I remember when I